Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
How do you get it up? Google that.
I always think better when the thoughts just tumble out my mouth. Welcome to this episode of 20 Minute Tims. This is the return of the flagship podcast, and I am, of course, joined, as I am every week, by Martin Melly.
Yes.
Glasgow's favourite son is back to the Monday Night Podcast, and Stephen.
What's happening, folks? Good to be back.
And I am your host, Jamie, and it has been exactly 150 days since Celtic last played a competitive football game, apart from the one we played against Hamilton yesterday.
150, it seems like about 1,050 to be perfectly honest, after all we've been through in the current climate and all that, and the preceding months. It feels like an absolute age since the competitive football was here with us prior to this Hamilton Accies game. So I'm absolutely cock-a-hoop, guys. I'm delighted that it's finally back.
The last time, Melly, we got to do a flagship podcast was the 26th of May when we did our season review. But between then and now, there has been absolutely hundreds going on the Patreon. We've got loads of great features as Celtic go for the 10. We've got a live preview show an hour before kickoff. We have a reaction podcast. We do tactics and transfers and scouting. You've probably seen the video doing the rounds on Patreon. And of course, for this new season, we are teaming up with the fantastic Celtic Fan TV to do exclusive video content once we're back in the stadium. But there's loads going on. Just check it out at patreon.com/20minutetims.
Yeah, that's right, Jamie. And if you're not one of our patrons yet, one of many many people who have decided to support us on Patreon. I believe we're over 1,200 people in there, so thanks to everyone who's in there. However, if you're looking for some other way to help us out, to show us a wee bit of love, to support your favourite Celtic podcast in some other way, we're going to run a little bit of a competition. People will have seen that we have a limited edition special pin badge that we give out to people who win competitions. Our special official
solid 20-minute gold.
Yes, our official 20-minute Tims emblem pin badge, the solid gold version. So we like giving those away. So what we've decided to do is we like hearing from people who listen to us. We like the feedback, positive mind. So what we're going to do is we're going to invite you, the listener, to show us some love on iTunes or Podcast Addict by leaving us a 5-star review. If you leave us a 5-star review from here, what we'll do is we'll pick our favourite every week and we will send you out a 20 Minute Tims gold badge. That easy. Just, you can make it anything you want. You can make it funny, make it silly, make it ridiculous, whatever you want. Just try and impress us. We'll pick our favourite and we'll send you off a badge. Please, though, if you're going to submit a review, please remember to include either your Twitter name or some other way that we can get in touch with you. Otherwise, we won't be able to find you. So that's key. Apple Podcast is usually the main platform for that kind of thing. But Android users, fear not. We will accept reviews on Podcast Addict as well.
So there you go. Join us on Patreon. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll pick our best and we'll send you a gold badge.
How good would it be, Jamie, if we got to 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcast?
Mate,
how good would
see
that
if we got
be?
1,000 reviews, I would retire. So if you hate me, get reviewed.
No. It's not out with our grasp, but it's certainly within sight. So let's make that happen.
Melly, pre-season has been and gone. Celtic had a pre-season tour of France. Unfortunately, we lost out in the Veolia Trophy to Rangers. The Gels took that one home, so they've got their hands on the first piece of silverware for the season.
The first we of a played... historic quadruple, Timmy. I think that's going to be the case for
them. We played PSG and got beaten by PSG. How do you think Melly Celtic coped on their pre-season adventures?
It was a strange one this year because we had such a gap between the football. Pre-season was more, you're more looking forward to it than ever because you just wanted to see Celtic back playing and the added bonus of all the Adidas gear as well. But we went into it and it was more difficult than it usually is this year because of everything that happens. It was only really French teams we could play because their league had finished, they were available. Yeah. So we had three games and three games of a much higher calibre than we usually play against. We usually go into games against a couple of minnows and then build our way up, and we've got Champions League qualifiers. We'd already be into the second round of that by now, probably. So it's proved very different, but I quite enjoyed playing against good teams because you could see straight away where we need to improve, who's good enough, who's came back sharp, and unfortunately who's not up to scratch as well. So yeah, playing against teams of that calibre, although we didn't win any of the three games in France, it was a good indicator of things to come in the season.
Got to say, yeah, I agree with Mel. I was quite impressed, as you said. I felt there was more use playing the stronger opposition pre-season, and that, I mean, it certainly looked as if it bared fruit against Hamilton, but we'll get to. But it looked as if there was more use playing stronger opposition pre-season. And I also liked the way, Stephen, that Neil Lennon rotated it. You know, he played the first string, he played the second string, he played a mixture. He made sure everyone got plenty of game time, and it gave us, you know, he probably knows where his squad's at, but it gave us, as fans, a good opportunity to figure out where people were at as well.
Yeah, I suppose some of the lineups and some of the substitutions that were going on, obviously you get unlimited substitutions in these games, but at times Lennon really wasn't, it wasn't always leaning on that, just change the whole team at half time. Some of it was quite telling in terms of what we can expect going forward. There seemed to be two quite distinct teams. There seemed to be a quote, you know, first 11, and then there was everyone else who played. Sad to see my man in Cham captaining the Diddy team, enough at times, but we'll just need to deal with that. I totally agree with Melly with the standard that we were playing against. Obviously, you don't want to go out there and just get gubbed off PSG and teams who will be challenging for the Champions League places. But at the same time, a lot of people say these games are only about getting fitness. But, yes and no. But you could get fit then Joe Wicks. But really, you can learn things from pre-season friendlies as well. It's not just about doing burpees in your garage. It's you can see patterns forming. And if you're playing against teams that are just undeniably of a much higher level than you're going to be playing when the league season rolls around for the most part, then I think that's a pretty good test. And it's a game we'll talk about later. We've obviously had a competitive game since, but I think it made a difference in terms of the intensity and the fitness going into that.
Who were the standouts for you, Melly, in pre-season? You know, you got to look at basically the whole squad, everyone that was available. Was there anyone that you looked at before the preseason started saying, you know, I want you to make an impact on me, and then they came through that and they did? I'm thinking about maybe Greg Taylor, for example. Or was there any that you thought, you know, didn't really take the opportunity that was there?
Yeah, I thought Greg Taylor did very, very well in them, and we'll obviously come on to the Hamilton game where again he done well. I thought El Yunusi came back sharp as anything. He's not played in a long time due to injury and that, but he came back, he looks fighting fit and he looks ready to prove a point. It was a big bonus, I think, getting him back. I think he's going to be very important for us this year, so I thought he was fine. I thought the three behind the striker, him, Forrest and Christie, all done very well in the pre-season games. And just Callum McGregor again, the guy is just class. He just comes in, does his job, 8 out of 10 every time, near enough. So I was impressed with them and Frimpong as well. Defensively, a couple of things I'd like to iron out, and then within the second string that we've seen, and Cham always impresses me. I think I'd love to see him work his way into the team. But with the rest of them, some of the young guys, yeah, I'd love to see them get some game time, but I'm not really sure it's going to happen for them. But there's definite prospects in there. So if we could maybe get them out on loan to get them some time. But there was none of the sort of senior players within the second team that, apart from in Cham, that I thought should be in the first 11.
It's quite nice to see Karamoko involved as heavily as he is. Obviously, he's still developing, he's still growing, he's still very young. But it's nice to see that Neil Lennon appears at least to count him among if not a regular starter. Of course, we wouldn't expect that of him just yet, but certainly in and around the first team squad. So that's sure. that's for me a positive. Soro, I found quite impressive as well. I was quietly impressed with Soro's movement. I thought in one or two of the friendlies he looked like he was very good in possession but not so good out of possession. You actually got to hear, because of the nature of the way these games have been played with no crowd, you hear the management's instructions an awful lot louder, and Neil Lennon snarling and shouting his venom and bile in the touchlines and all that.
Get Neil Lennon mic'd up.
Yeah, you get a lot of that, and you could hear him, you know, beckoning Soro into like to get back into position, get tighter, get like pick up your man, all that kind of stuff. But I like the way he receives the ball. I like the way he turns, and he seems to be, he's always looking forward. He is surveying the landscape as the ball is coming to him, and he's always looking to buy himself a wee bit of space. Very, very early days, and I'm conscious that there's only so much you can learn from friendlies, despite what I said earlier. They are a good testing ground, but you can't make full judgments on a player, of course not. But I'm reasonably encouraged by what I saw from him. Klamala is another one who's, you know, reasonably new to us, hasn't played an awful lot, and I don't think it's really unfair to say hasn't really impressed, but he hasn't really been given much of a chance to impress. But ultimately, those are kind of the same thing. The one leads to another. If he's not impressing in training, then he's not going to get the much of a chance to impress on the pitch, so that's absolutely fine. But reasonably chuffed with what I've seen from him as well. Got a couple of goals in pre-season, and of course he contributed in the competitive game. So lots to be positive about in the pre-season. I thought, despite the fact that the results didn't go Celtic's way, but I'm not in the least bit interested in that. As I say, I'd rather focus on what actually happened within those games rather than focus on, you know, it didn't win any games. You know, I'm not really bothered about that.
For sure, it's like, I sort of see the pre-season thing is like giving your team an MOT, seeing where the weaknesses are, seeing where the strengths are. It's not really about the results at this point any longer. And us as fans and guys doing a podcast, it's a good opportunity to get a look at some of the guys like Klamala and Soro that we haven't seen a lot of since they came into the club 6 months ago for various reasons.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was a lot of focus on Klamala, primarily because Lee Griffiths, it was sort of publicly hauled over the coals, didn't even travel to France to play in any of the pre-season matches, didn't make it down to Loughborough, the elite academy that Celtic took the players down to either, basically down to fitness. You know, there was rumours, you know, given that Lee Griffiths has had his issues in the past, those didn't seem to come into play this time around. This time around, it seemed to come down to the basic fact of the matter was he wasn't following the plan he was given during lockdown. Now, Melly, you had an interview with Oliver Morgan on the Patreon, who is, remember, he's the head of youth sports science, is he?
Yes.
And he basically described the regime that the players were given throughout lockdown and how to follow it. And as it comes to fruition, Lee Griffiths basically seemed to spend his time making TikTok videos and phoning in kebabs and cocktails.
Yeah.
So Lee Griffiths on the sidelines, Patrick Klamala took a different approach. He bulked up, he put on a bit of weight, he shaved his head, he learned English. Sort of the antithesis of the approach that Lee Griffiths took. So given that, and given what we saw in pre-season, do you think there's a conversation to be had about who's second choice behind Edouard at the moment, Melly?
I don't think there's a conversation to be had. I think it's pretty clear by Neil Lennon. He's not even included in the Hamilton game. Griffiths isn't in the 19 or in the 9 subs even, and Klamala was and came on. I think Klamala, from when I first seen him, I seen him in a reserve game, I wasn't impressed at all. I seen him against Clyde in the flesh again, I wasn't very impressed. But from what I've seen coming back, he has worked hard. If he's not going to make it, it's just down to the fact that he's not good enough. It won't be because he's not put the effort in.
Can't
because I think he
out.
Has.
Yeah.
He has. He's went away. He's done his bit. He's come back. And look, the bare minimum for a footballer when not injured is to be fit enough to play a game of football. Coming back in a condition not to even be able to do training isn't good enough. So there's no way Neil Lennon can reward Lee Griffiths by taking him away. It's just, it can't be done.
Yeah,
it's a massive season for Celtic. We can't be carrying passengers like that. So it was fair enough by Klamala. From what I've seen in pre-season, he'd done well. I'm looking for more from a striker. I still believe that the drop-off from Edouard to Klamala is pretty massive. And if Lee Griffiths was fit enough to play, I still think he's a better player than Klamala. But Klamala's put in the effort, he's put in the work, so he deserves to be the second choice right now for me.
And it comes back to sort of what you said earlier on, Stephen, you know, the opportunities to impress, the chance when people say, you know, players need given a chance. Well, the chance is to train with the Celtic first team. You need to take that and you get rewarded by minutes on the pitch. And that looks to be what's happening with Klamala. There is no doubt, though, that, you know, summer brings pre-season. It also brings a transfer window. And we've got an extra long transfer window this season running into October. And Neil Lennon has been, again, very public and clear that he's looking for another striker. So far, we've been linked to Ayeti, who's on the books at West Ham but hasn't played much football, but previously played at Basel, and Ivan Toney at Peterborough. Now, these guys are two sort of high-level strikers, especially the money that the Toney deal's been quoted upwards of £6 million. These are high-level strikers. So who do you think should be more worried about the arrival of these guys, Lee Griffiths or Patrick Klamala or the Celtic fans? Because does it mean that there could be plans for Edouard?
It's a good point, because I think if Celtic are to invest heavily in the striking department, I think alarm bells would start to ring about Edouard leaving. We had a discussion last night as we record this, which was immediately after the Hamilton Accies game, where we discussed the prospect of Edouard potentially leaving. Now, we're not like in the business of trying to sell players. We're really just having a sort of sober, reflective discussion on the potential of it. And the sad fact of the matter is, we all kind of need used to it, is that Odson Edouard is just far, far too good to play much of his career in Scotland. He's far too good for this, and he will probably leave.
Neil Lennon said as much. After the Hamilton game, Neil Lennon says, you know, it's great to have a player like Odson at the club. You're looking at him, he excites you, it's brilliant, the return of goals, but you've also got a nervousness that you might not have him for so long.
It's a precarious situation, because at any time, especially the way he's playing, that is absolutely unbelievable that someone will take notice and come in, and Celtic will be. And I know Celtic don't need to sell, but really, the model that Celtic operate under must continue. They will have to sell Odson Edouard at some point. If like an Arsenal or Manchester United or something comes in for Odson Edouard, then it's likely that he'll probably go. I just really hope that it's not anytime soon, and certainly not in this window. The players they've been linked with, though, are at least encouraging. Ivan Toney has a great reputation. I'm not just like doing the casual glance over him because his name has appeared linked to Celtic. I've known of Ivan Toney for quite some time. He scores a lot of goals. Was it Newcastle he previously been at and had a really good reputation in his younger days, and just didn't quite make the grade there. So he seems to be a guy who's growing in stature down south, and as recently as a couple of months ago has been linked with £15 million moves to England. So that's an encouraging one, at least.
It's interesting that you mention that, because as part of what we do in the Patreon, as you know, Stephen, is we brought on a scout, and we sat down with the scout, and we says, let's look at areas of the pitch that Celtic need to improve. Let's try and draw up a transfer strategy for players that might fit that. And then let's go out into the world, like Celtic will do, and try and find players.
Yeah.
On a short list that might fit that, and then we scouted those players. It's all available on the Patreon. But we obviously, one of the players that we had a look at was Ivan Toney. He came up, you know, he fits the Celtic profile, he fits the sort of player that Celtic might be looking at. But when we saw the fees and the numbers associated with Toney, especially what they were publicly saying down south, was in the press down south, we thought to ourselves, well, Celtic are never going to pay that money, because Ivan Toney's in the last year of his contract. But the more these conversations go on, Melly, and the more it looks like Celtic are willing to spend a lot of money. This is just my personal opinion. Let me put a positive spin on it. I would be so pleased and so happy if Celtic went out and spent £6 million on a striker and kept Edouard and had the both of them. Don't get me wrong, I think we need to, because Lee Griffiths has shown that he can't be relied upon, as far as I'm concerned. Again, Neil Lennon more or less said it. Lee Griffiths has shown that he can't maybe be relied upon, and Klamala's got some way to go. So we do need another striker.
Yeah, we definitely do, and one that we need to start preparing for the fact that it's inevitable Edouard's going to leave. If we're selling, if he doesn't sign a new contract, it's this summer is maximum money you'll get for him, because he's got 2 years left. Leave it any longer, the money starts to maybe go down. But Celtic are in a position where they don't need to sell. We're in a position where it's going to be a massive season for us, so we could just say, look, we need to go for it this season. We need you to stay. Just do it this season, and then you can go. I hope that's the case. Even if Edouard was to stay, we should be looking at top quality, because the drop-off in midfield if one of our midfielders is injured and Cham comes in and you've absolutely no worries there. You think, that's fine, we'll be fine. Yeah. Up front, if Edward was to be out for two or three games and you're thinking, oh, is Klamala going to cut it? Is Griffiths going to be fit? That we can't be doing that this season. We're going to have a lot of games, and this season, there's going to be so many more games. Well, as usual for us, it's going to be weekend, midweek, yeah. And it's just all going to be so compressed this season that we're going to need quality in lots of positions. We need another striker in. We need somebody that's going to challenge Edward, give Edward a rest, but also take over from Edward when the time does come. And the guys, Tony and Ajeti, they do things that you always say, Jamie, if you're coming to Celtic, you need to have a good scoring pedigree at your previous clubs. And although Ajeti doesn't at West Ham, before that he does. Tony, he seems to do that. He's banged in a lot of goals for Peterborough. These are the kind of guys we want to see coming, because another guy linked today, leaving Bio, he didn't have that. And it rarely to never works out when that happens.
Yeah, I mean, let me sort of correct you a wee bit. Bio did have it.
Don't you dare tell me.
He did. Bio did have it. I think he scored 27 goals in 35 games the season before we signed him. But it was in the Slovakian League. So the caveat that I always make is, you know, if any time Celtic need to sign a striker, and this is one thing that, funnily enough, came up when we were doing the scouting, is they didn't have a scoring record at a similar level to the one we are playing at. Very rarely does a guy who's scored hatloads of goals in a poor league make the step up. It just doesn't seem to work out. And you're right, Bio's linked on his way out. That's the best thing for him, isn't it, Stephen? Like the best thing for Bio. And I wouldn't, see if we bring in another striker, I would not be, in fact, I'd promote the idea of putting Klamala out on loan, because I just think there's no point these guys being at Celtic and not playing football.
Not for Bio. I think the writing was on the wall for Bio when he started being linked with St Mirren during the week. That's not encouraging to me in the slightest. I mean, no disrespect to the guy. I just think he's found himself at a level he didn't belong at. He scored a couple of goals. That's absolutely fine. But I don't think he's ever going to make a significant impact at Celtic. And if Celtic, if the management, if the coaching staff have realised that within a season or so, or in fact, there'll be longer than that now. He was a Rodgers signing, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, I mean,
think about that time that's passed, and he'd basically done nothing. I know he's had a few injuries in there, right enough, but I don't think it's ever going to work out for him. And you know, I think it's probably time to move him on. I did hear Neil Lennon talking after the Hamilton game last night about how he said, it was something that kind of chimed with me when you were talking there, Melly. You can never have too many good strikers. It's not possible. You can't have too many good players. Within reason, of course. You don't want 30 like, top-class strikers in your squad, right? But although I think Neil Lennon was quite canny there. I think realising that what he said was probably going to be turned into a headline about how he definitely, desperately wants a striker, he then broadened it out to, oh, you can never have too many good strikers. But also midfielders, defenders, goalkeepers. He tacked that on at the end of it so that it wouldn't be basically just be Lennon seeks striker tomorrow morning. So I do agree with him, though. I think you need guys who are going to come in and challenge for places. I just desperately don't want Odson Edward to go, but at the same time, I'm very realistic about it. I've kind of trained myself after several players have left in the last few years to accept that I don't think the carrot of the 10 means as much to a player as it does to the fans. Because, and why would it? I know it's a really nice thing to be involved in, but ultimately Odson Edward is going to have come in and won 3 or 4 out of the 10. Like, he won't have won 10 in a row. Only Scott Brown and James Forrest are going to have done that. So I think in that regard, it's probably going to be very difficult to use that as leverage to make him stay. If he has
the only thing that makes these guys stay is, putting it bluntly, money. Well, you know, Odson Edward can go down south and make 40, 50, 60 grand a week. And unless Celtic can really offer him that, but that's what's going to make him stay.
Also, if Odson Edward is to end up at the level that we all know he deserves at, as I said, one of the examples I used earlier, Manchester United come in for him and they're playing the Champions League next year. That's a huge thing for a player like Edward. It's not necessarily just about money, but I don't really want to focus on it too much because it feels like I'm selling odds on Edward here. I don't even want to hear the words coming out of my mouth. But as I say, I'm realistic about it. However, I'm just glad that Celtic look to be making moves with regards to at least sort of mitigating that potential loss.
One player who certainly did see his future elsewhere was Fraser Foster. I don't think there's any doubt that Neil Lennon was A bit hurt, a bit. He seemed a bit hurt and a bit disappointed about the way that the Fraser Foster thing panned out. He was coming, then he wasn't coming, then he was coming, then he wasn't, then the deal was back on, and then finally Neil Lennon sort of came in out into the press and says, look, we made a good offer, we were waiting to hear from Fraser Foster, and we didn't. However, one thing that's encouraging is that Celtic seemingly immediately went out. The thing that we always complain about is, you have your first target, if that doesn't work, why don't you just go out and sign the second one? And they seemed to do that. They went out and signed Villas Barkas from AEK Athens, a goalkeeper with a great pedigree. And if you listen to the last sort of Patreon sample that I put out a couple of days ago in this feed, we've got the lowdown from a Greek journalist who gave us it. But back to Fraser Foster, Melly, I've got to say, I'm really, really disappointed that Big Fraz never came back. However, that disappointment is tempered slightly because Barkas looks like a player.
Yeah, it's disappointing. The guy came in, done a great job for Celtic. He's been a great player in all his spells at Celtic, and this season, last season, the Fraser Foster final, as it'll be known about, the saves against Lazio. Everybody wanted him to stay, but just the finances involved, I just couldn't see how it could work. If we had got him on loan again this season, it just kicks it the can down the road to next season when...
He didn't want a loan. I think that's been a big part of the problem. He didn't want another loan, which I think is entirely fair enough at this stage of his career. I think he wanted something resembling a little bit of stability, and ultimately Celtic can't afford to give him that.
No, even if it's rumoured between £60,000 and £90,000 a week to spend that on a goalkeeper, it would be crazy in Celtic's budget. But we've went out and we've done something that we've rarely ever done and got somebody else in. The guy, he's a good age, in his mid-20s, he's an international, he's played in the Champions League, he's played in the Europa League, and he's played in a team that challenges in their league. So it seems to be the same kind of goalkeeper. Maybe AK Athens, there'll be games and he's in where he doesn't have much to do.
Yeah,
and he's going to be the same at Celtic. We're from everything we've heard about the scouting and the lowdown we got from the journalist, it seems to be ideal for Celtic, absolutely ideal. I was hoping he'd just come in and go straight in, but he was maybe signed a couple of days too late to make his debut at Hamilton. But from everything we've read up on him and heard, seems to be a good signing, and it's a record transfer for a goalkeeper. The highest amount we've ever spent on a goalkeeper. It's a lot of money, so you'd expect...
It's a record transfer for AEK Athens as well. It's their highest ever sale.
Yeah, and so you'd expect to see him in between the sticks pretty soon.
The Foster saga, just to kind of put a bow on that, it was very disappointing, of course, that he didn't sign. He's a very popular figure here, and he's got a great history with Celtic. But I think it's just one of those things. It's one of those scenarios where I can't blame anyone involved. I don't think that anyone's at fault. I don't think the club are at fault. I don't think Foster is. I don't think anyone is at fault for that move breaking down. I think it was probably just unrealistic to make it happen, for not least of all the reasons that Melly has already listed. The fact that it's just an enormous outlay on a keeper. I think we panicked a wee bit at the time because we didn't know. Barkas at the time wasn't on the scene. It's just a good thing that Celtic have just, no messing about, have gone out and identified this guy and snapped him up almost immediately. But at the time, it felt like it's either Foster or nothing. It's either Foster or we're compromising the league next season and all that.
Do you think really the money we laid out on Barkas plus his wages is going to be a million miles off what Foster... Well, I think Fraser Foster had a decision to make as far as his own career goes, because I don't think the closing of as the transfer window slams shut, as we love to say here, I don't think Fraser Foster's career is going to look much different to it did, last season before he joined Celtic. I think Fraser Foster's potentially looking at spending the last few years of his career quite well paid, but not really playing any football. I think ultimately Fraser Foster, if he wanted, obviously the pool wasn't enough for him to join Celtic, but I don't think the money would have been a million miles away from what he's getting now. I'm sure a deal could have been put together that would have, made sure he was well, well, well taken care of. And I know it's easy for us to say that, but I just think, I've got to say, I'm tinged with a wee bit of disappointment for the Fraser Foster. How many years had he sat on the Southampton bench, comes up to Celtic, does fantastically well, gets his career back on track, and he looks now as if he's quite happy just to return to that Southampton bench. I personally don't understand it.
I don't know. I think
on the flip side,
those aren't the only two options for him, though. It's not just Celtic or Southampton bench. He could get a move somewhere else. Yeah.
Time will tell on that one. But on the flip side, I'm quite impressed from what we're hearing on Villas. Barkas, as soon as he heard about Celtic's interest, he basically told AEK Athens, I want to go to Celtic.
Yeah.
That's the team I want to go for. So I'm really pleased about that. His profile looks great. He's confident. He's a great shot stopper. Loves to organise defence. Very vocal. He's quite tall. I think he's 6'5" or something. Great shot stopper. All these things that Neil Lennon wants. He looks very much in the mould of Fraser Foster. So I'm looking forward to seeing Barkas playing some football for us. Another position that Celtic are linked with is left back. We were linked with David Kalina today, a Croatian who plays for Hajduk Split. And that obviously opens up the season-old conversation. Let's bring back a conversation from last season about Greg Taylor and Boran Gholey. Personally, Melly, I thought Greg Taylor had a bit to go. However, the performances pre-season, and especially his performance against Hamilton, really gave me something to think about. I thought there was a player in there. I just thought he needed some more time to grow into it. And honestly, I think Greg Taylor had a really, really good start to the season. As for Boran Gholey, I think our feelings and Neil Lennon's feelings converge on Boran Gholey. I don't think he's in the plans. He doesn't feature at all. So, another left back?
Yeah, we'll need another left back. I always liked Greg Taylor. I thought he was a decent player. Maybe not quite one you'd think, oh, that's who I want my left back to be going the next three, four years. But his performance at the weekend was great. And with Greg Taylor, there was games last year from January onwards where especially the St Johnstone away, the midweek one, where we were 3-0 up after 20-odd minutes. We were brilliant that night. The pitch was terrible. But Greg Taylor was great that night. He had a great game. I think he set up 2 goals. He was whipping balls in. He was getting to the byline. So I'd seen a game like that from Greg Taylor. I'd seen there could be games like that. If he could just do that more consistently, I think he could be a good player. Just has a few things going against him. Defensively he's good, but everybody's at, I don't know if he's as good going forward. Well, we've seen it the weekend there, he was really good, whereas with Boran Gholey, defensively he's not very good, and people say, oh, he's better going forward. I don't think he is. I think he was very, very poor. He gets into maybe positions, but I don't think he's got a final ball. I don't rate the guy at all, and it doesn't seem like Neil Lennon does. The fact that we spent a lot of money on him worries me as well, but it looks like it's going to need to be cutthroat, and your time's up, pal. We just need to replace him.
That's the best thing for these guys, because, you know, look at let's take the example of Bio. It must be very difficult or very awkward for a player who's used to playing week in, week out, competitive football. That's your career. You train, and then at the weekend you play, to get into a situation where you just train. You don't play. You don't feature. And so when you're looking at Boran Gholey, you know, it's kind of no hard feelings, but even from his point of view, he's probably sitting there thinking, right, I want out of Celtic. If I'm not in your plans, with the best will in the world, let's find me a club.
Yeah, it's important to remember with Boran Gholey as well that despite, I know no one has played for months because of the shutdown of football and all that, but it's important to remember with Boran Gholey in particular that he was out of the team long, long before that as well. He didn't play from the Rangers game until there was one appearance at Clyde, wasn't it? They played against Clyde. Yeah. And that's been it. That's all she wrote since the Rangers game at the tail end of last year. He was long out of the first team picture. Boran Gholey, I want to firmly suplex any chat about him being a left winger right into the bin as well, because see this chat as well that like it can be a left wing cover. It could be, so hold on, our options are going to be Mohamed El-Younoussi or Boran Gholey for the left wings. That is absolutely absurd chat. I kind of resent the idea that left wing could be like a plan B, a fallback. Yeah. I wasn't any good at left back, so I'll just stick me further up the pitch. I know it seems like I'm being unnecessarily harsh on Boran Gholey, but I think
what does that say to Mikey Johnson?
Look, son,
I know you're promising, but we're getting this absolute dud at left back. He's going to be taking your job for anyone.
My positioning's a nightmare, so you may as well chuck me further up the pitch. I'll be deadly up there. No, I don't buy into that at all. I've not seen anything from him that would encourage me that he's going to be really good going forward. I know that I'm sure some stats out there will back up the fact that he gets into good positions, but that's very different to actually being able to deliver anything once you get there. I think his crossing is on occasion quite good, but that doesn't quite make up for the fact that he's quite often makes very strange runs. He makes very strange passes when he gets into forward positions as well. They're either inside or he runs it. He like underlaps the winger and weird things like that. So
sort of inverts. Yeah, sort of inverts it, and
So, and that doesn't seem to be instruction either, because again, you can hear Neil Lennon on the touchline, like basically questioning where on earth he's going. No, I think the ball and goalie thing appears, at least for now, to be over. There was chat that they tried to get rid of him at the tail end of the previous transfer window in January, and I wouldn't be surprised if that turned out that was true.
There's been a number of outgoings. Obviously, there's been some great servants. Some of Neil Lennon's favourite subs have left the club. Ross Doohan, though, has joined the Rosses on loan at Ross County. He joins Ross Laidlaw and Ross Munro as the other two Ross County goalkeepers. So Ross County have three goalkeepers all named Ross now.
Well, fitting. Right, it's on brand, isn't it? That's nice.
Very on brand. But yeah, we've also lost Jozo Simonovic. We've also lost Johnny Hayes. Armstrong Okoflex looks as if he's been let go as well. And obviously Craig Gordon's left. Do you want to commemorate any of these guys in the podcast before we move on and talk about league business?
Not really, no.
There we go. Okay. Let's not be cruel. Let's be real for a minute. Craig Gordon, Cape Town Celtic, terrific servant for us.
Yeah.
He obviously goes with our best wishes. Craig Gordon was almost a masterstroke of a signing. We said that a long time ago. I think, did Craig Gordon sign for Celtic when we first started this podcast? Or was he there by the season prior?
The season prior he came in, he was Foster's replacement when he went to Southampton. So yeah, came under Dyla's first season, and I couldn't believe it at the time. I thought, yeah, that's fine. He'll come in, he'll be the second choice, and we'll bring in another keeper. Didn't for a minute expect him to come in and be a great keeper for us for what, five seasons nearly. Lost his place over the last year or so, the last two seasons, sort of, which is fair enough because it wasn't Brendan Rodgers' ideal sort of player, but he managed to win his way back, and he'd done a great job. Yeah, won everybody's
his
heart,
black
some
heart.
Of Harrell's included. So he'd done a great job for us, good servant, but it was just his time was up. The guy missed a lot of football in his career. There's no point in him sitting as Celtic's third choice goalkeeper, especially when he was on quite a decent wage after that contract he signed in the Invincible season. So, all right, it's sad to see him go. It's a bit harsh. It was just his time to go. Good player.
So that's all the pre-season stuff out of the way. The real deal kicked off this weekend. Flag Day at Celtic Park. Unfortunately, none of us were there, but we got to watch it on Sky or the Past of Paradise, whatever you decided to watch it on. Unusual start to the season, so far as not being in the ground, but it was business as usual for Celtic, Melly.
It was, and you worried that watching the friendlies, I was right into it because I'd missed Celtic so much. Couldn't quite get into the German stuff, Premier League a wee bit more, but I was worried that the fans won't be there, maybe it won't be the same. As soon as that whistle blew, fully bought into it because yes. It was just waiting on the Sunday then, it just hit me like, this is it. This is the start of what could potentially be the biggest season of our lifetimes. It's going to be massive. And then, it was squeaky bum time then, because every game's going to be like this. You're going to be going into every single game.
If every game's like this, geez it. Every game is like this, absolutely geez it.
I guarantee you every single game will be five goals and Lenny Ball like Saturday. You worried it would be be a bit rusty. We played the two friendlies against Scottish teams, a wee bit unusual, and then coming into this, maybe will Celtic be firing all cylinders? Yes is the answer.
Stephen, I was quite impressed with the intensity at which Celtic met the game. You know, Melly's talking there about the Bundesliga and the English Premier League kicking off behind closed doors. I've watched bits and bobs of that, not been too impressed, but I've got to say I've not seen a game or a team approach a behind closed doors game with the intensity that Celtic approached this one.
What I would say about that is they have, but it took a while. It took a few weeks for these other leagues to kick in, when really it only took Celtic 45 minutes, which is what kind of feeds back into what I was talking about with the level of opposition that Celtic had chosen. Well, not so much chosen, but kind of forced into playing against in pre-season. I think that played a part. There are a few better tests for your mental sharpness, your physical fitness, than playing against players that are better than you. And let's face it, that's what PSG were. So in a way, that was ideal preparation for Celtic. The intensity truly did kick in the second half. There was nothing really wrong with the first half, but I agree with Neil Lennon's assessment in that it was a little bit passive, and they let Hamilton, they didn't really get on top of Celtic, but they allowed Hamilton to make more chances than I think a fully intense Celtic would have allowed. That all came in the first half, but I think that once the half-time had passed, it was all guns a-blazing.
There was a lot of talk pre-season. One of the players that I had my eye on in particular was Odson Edouard. I thought he had a particularly quiet pre-season, which led to Frank McAvenny very helpfully writing a column saying Odson Edouard does he look interested. Odson Edouard answered Frank McAvenny back, as well as MDL, so I might have had any doubts on the pitch. An absolutely sublime hat-trick, and then potentially an equally sublime clamping on Twitter as soon as he gets back into the team bus. Oh, that was absolutely brilliant.
To be honest, Odson Edouard, if you haven't seen it, obviously what he did was he clapped back on Twitter and basically said, Odson Edouard doesn't look interested, with a wee speech emoji and three balls signifying the goals he'd scored. However, both of them might be right. He might not be interested. Saying that on Twitter wasn't outright a denial. He might agree with Frank McAvenny. He might say, well, I'm not interested, but look what I can do when I'm not interested. Just think how good I am if I can be bothered to turn it on for the afternoon.
So, don't anger me. Just think how good I'd be if you angered me.
Yeah, I found his performance deeply upsetting because, as I say, this is on the telly. Why tone that down a wee bit to me?
Ugh, every game is on the telly these days.
Aye, but especially this season, every game will be on the telly.
There's nothing else on the news, though. Scottish football is very much at the forefront. We don't want people paying attention to these performances, Odson.
Aye, you want to keep Odson Edouard our secret? Aye. That's what you want to do. You want to keep him our wee secret? Before Odson managed to get on the score sheet, though, I thought Julian looked a real threat at set pieces.
Yeah, it's always hard to believe that we're creating chances from set pieces. We've went so long, we've just got it drilled in our heads that we're terrible at corners, but Christie seemed to be delivering them from the outswingers, and Julian was getting round at the back post. He had won a couple of volleys that he caught pretty well. One hit the post. Oh, so we're looking dangerous.
If anything, he
hit
it too well, Melly.
That's what they say, aye.
He'd a header saved as well. So we're looking threatening from set pieces. We look a wee bit weak from set pieces as well. That's how Hamilton eventually got their goal, but it could be down to having the two fullbacks are quite small guys. But two fullbacks were great on the day, and we seem to be creating a lot of chances, which is great.
Immediately after the game started, Julian picked up the ball and produced a pinger of a pass out to the left side where Greg Taylor chested it in. And I thought to myself, I'd kind of forgotten about that trait that Julian has to play long-range passes. And it's brilliant to see when he actually pulls it off, because there are videos on YouTube that are about 8 minutes long of Jerome Boateng playing raking passes out to wings and all that, and they're absolutely brilliant. See, if you've got a defender that can do that, it's a real weapon, as they say. People sometimes kind of frown upon or pour scorn on the idea that you would play long balls, but those are long passes, and I think he's really good at it when he gets them right. A couple of dodgy moments as well with Julian early on. I think he's a huge threat in the opposition box, but can also be a little bit of a worry in his own at times. That'll come with sharpness. So he and Ayer will, I'm sure, get back to the way they were playing when they were at their best last season. But he is such a threat in the box. Those two volleys were absolutely brilliant. And he's one of those guys who we've probably not seen since Boyata, who just, it feels like he could get on the end of every corner that comes in to the box. He seems to be favourite for every ball that arrives in there. And it's a great asset to have.
I was really impressed with the fluidity of Celtic's play, the way that, especially the front four, you know, the way that they all change position. James Forrest comes right inside. The amount of unselfish runs that James Forrest made during that game was quite unbelievable. Coming inside, leaving space for Frimpong, pulling defenders left, right and centre. And it was sort of a bit of that fluidity that got us off the mark in the first instance. It was Frimpong took the ball, played through Odson Edouard, who released Greg Taylor on the left-hand side, who put in one of many on the day, absolutely tremendous low cross for Odson Edouard to knock it at the back of the net. See that really, really dangerous cross that just, what is it, the corridor of uncertainty, call it, Melly, for Odson Edouard to put away. I thought that was sublime by Taylor.
Yeah, it's one of those ones the keeper can't quite come for it. It's in between the keeper and the defence. It's absolutely perfect. And I thought last season we did have a lot of those type of crosses, but we didn't have somebody on the end of them until we had the two strikers on. But if there's any sort of, hesitate to say this, weakness in Odson Edouard's game, is that he doesn't score a lot of goals inside the 6 yard box, and this was one of them. It was absolutely brilliant. This is where you want him to be. I said yesterday, if he can start getting into these instinctive striker positions, then it could be hitting Henrik Larsson numbers this season, because last season he got 28 goals up to March and he still had two full months where he would have been on fire. I think if we can keep him fit this year, he can do that. Look, it was great play from him. It was him that played out Taylor, as you said, and Taylor getting that good early ball across, perfect right across the box, and there's Edouard just to tap in. We all know Stephen loves those tap-ins, but it's great to see that. You love seeing long-range efforts, but if you're playing good football, getting that ball out wide and getting it in the box for somebody to tap in, it's total football, and it's how Lenny Ball sees it. It was worked over from the right-hand side from one fullback over to the other, and the cross comes in and your striker scores. You can't really ask much more than that.
Frimpong is just an absolute star, player. Tremendous.
Absolutely brilliant.
Heavily involved in this goal, of course. He had a brilliant surge forward and then was just cleaned out. He was taken out kind of just inside Hamilton's half, but he had already done enough to start the move. There'd been a shocker of a challenge on him previously as well, which I think a lot of people in our Discord group, which is a group for our patrons to chat about the games while they're going on, that's a benefit of the Patreon. There was a lot of shouts for maybe a red for that. I'm not quite sure about that. I think it was a hard and cynical foul, but I don't think it's a straight red. I think you know, to the letter of the law, that's probably a nailed on immediate yellow. You're not getting any warnings or anything like that. That is a yellow, even if it's your first challenge. Don't know about red. It's maybe an orange at most. So I don't know if it's a straight
red card that existed.
but Frimpong just sensational. Just an absolutely tremendous player, and it just only seems to be getting better and better. Don't know about the new haircut right enough. It kind of makes him look like a wee old woman. He's kind of get like a
What's
wee.
Different?
He's
What's
got like
different?
a wee kind of orangey browny tuft right at the front of his wee quiff. It kind of makes him look old and like he looks like he's on gran. So I'm not thinking in that.
He looks like his own grand. He managed to get himself on the score sheet, Melling says, after the game. That's what he wants to do, score more than assists this season. It's quite a bold claim for a fullback. Greg Taylor turned provider, fullback to fullback, another brilliant cross, and wee Frimmers was at the back post. A little fizzing ball of energy to put it in.
Yeah, it was a great ball across again from Taylor. Good patient play from Celtic around the edge of the box. They didn't try and force it. They waited till the run was there. I think McGregor played it into Taylor and he puts it across. And if your striker's not getting in there, your winger's not in there, you've got your fullback in at the back post to put it home. Love seeing Celtic score, but just a wee smile that cracks on his face when he scores. Everybody loves it. Even there's a shot you can see in the background where Edouard's like a proud brother or a proud dad. As soon as Frimpong scores, you can just see. I think Edouard smiled more at that than he did his own three goals. So I think everybody loves Frimpong. He's just one of those infectious wee characters. And just to top it off, he's absolutely brilliant at football as well.
It's like one of those the definitions of total football, isn't it? For a fullback crossing it to the back post for another fullback to knock it in. Just a word on the cross for that. We've already mentioned Greg Taylor and his crossing in this game. Very, very similar to the first goal, but the fizz on that one, it's impossible to deal with. The defence cannot touch that because it's so close to them. If they touch that, they're smashing it in the back of the net. Keeper can't really come for it because he's too close to his defenders. Absolutely impossible to deal with, and there was wee Frimpong. They were getting a lot of joy at the back post at this stage. Celtic, obviously, we'd already talked about Julian's volleys, but it's very, very difficult to deal with a ball like that. And Greg Taylor has gone some way to proving me completely wrong about how I worried that I just didn't really see it from him going forward. But to grab two assists, secure a brace of assists in the first half of the game, I thought he was excellent.
Celtic had problems at the back post of their own. Hamilton flighted in a big old free kick. It should have been bread and butter for a Celtic defence, but Scott Brown got beaten at the back post with a header and they managed to score from a shot outside the box after it took a couple of wee deflections. The one thing I'll say about this goal is, and you touched on earlier, Melly, I think if there's any weaknesses in Celtic's play, what I've noticed just now is we were getting beaten in the air an awful lot. I think it maybe comes down to what you say about the height of the defence. I don't think Scott Brown had his best game in a Celtic shirt, but I'm not obviously going to pass any judgment on that just now. It's a long time to go for Scott Brown. And also, with Scott Bain in goal, I've not seen Barkas play for Celtic yet, but I know for a fact Barkas would have saved that.
it's a different one because there's two deflections. The worry is it's the second ball from the set piece. We lost quite a lot of goals from set pieces, corners and free kicks last year, I think. Nearly half of our goals were from that. It's disappointing, and it is something that we might need to look at going forward, because Well, Barkas coming in might make a difference. He might be more commanding and that sort of thing. But Julian and Aya, there was times where the Hamilton strikers, I find it very difficult to compliment Hamilton because I don't like anything about them. I'm usually very harsh on them because of their stadium. They still, oh, we brought through players. Well, you brought through two players 15 years ago, so you can't have that anymore.
So just, those guys are nearly retired now.
Yeah, they're in both nearly 30, so that you're not getting that. But it's just one of those teams that I don't like. But they did cause us a couple of wee problems, and it was from flighted balls in. Julian... Yep. And you were beating a couple of duels, then the second ball we didn't quite mop up. But it's just one of those things we're going to need to be careful with, because if we're looking at it, we don't have a lot of tall players. You're just looking at the two centre-halves, bringing Edward and maybe Christie back. It's no very good for corners and set pieces. But apart from that, look, it was, this causes a wee bit of problems, but their goal was couple of deflections on the way in. It's one of those ones where they probably didn't deserve to get into the game, and if anything, it just spurred Celtic on. It was a wee wake-up call for us.
Ah, there was a couple of deflections, but you know, Scott Bain got a hand to it. Barkas would have saved it. That's all I'm saying.
I saw people suggesting that Fraser Forster would have saved it because he's taller than Scott Bain and therefore would have got a hand to it. But I think he's not a Celtic player, guys. That's a bit like saying, do you know who wouldn't have got caught out of the back post under the ball at Scott Brown? Fellaini. He would have cleared that. The goal itself, very, very difficult to reset yourself after a deflection at that range, especially if it's taken two deflections on the way. So I'm not really going to criticise Scott Bain. I think it's probably an easy target because of the fact that there is a keeper sitting there, like waiting to basically take his place in the coming weeks. It feels similar to when Celtic were gubbed, shellacked all those years ago by Art Media Bratislava. A lot of the focus was on the goalkeeper in that game because they'd already signed Artur Boric, and everybody was saying, well, if only our new keeper had been in for this. So I think it's maybe unfair to look at Bain. He maybe could have got a stronger hand to it, but as I say, it's very, very difficult to redistribute your weight after a deflection and you're already moving.
Odson Edward managed to score a second goal after James Forrest, who came into some criticism in the Discord. I saw a lot of Celtic fans on Twitter having a bit of a go at James Forrest again. I thought over the piece he had a really good game, used his pace to burst down. Another terrific low cross. Edward in the middle of the box, slots it past the oncoming keeper. What's cooler than cool? Odson Edward. I am absolutely in love with this man.
He's tremendous, isn't he? Forrest done really well again. It was, I keep saying Lenny ball, but it was because it was played out from the back and it's not 18 passes here and there. It's played out, it's played with purpose. We get it out wide, early ball from Christie down the line. Forrest with early ball across and Edward gets across with a finish that's harder than it looks probably, but this guy just makes it easy. Like, we've spoke about it a lot in the New Year's, how easy Larson makes finishes look. Edward's doing the exact same. And Forrest, you mentioned it earlier, Jamie, did make a lot of unselfish runs, and I thought El Yunusi did the exact same as well. He kept making those runs inside, as did Forrest, which left all the space for Taylor and Frimpong, who were basically light wingers for us. So it was good playing. Obviously, El Yunusi had that wee dummy for the first goal as well that he let run under, and that's when Taylor put it in. So I thought the two wide players, although they didn't get on the score sheet, they still contributed massively.
I thought Callum McGregor as well had an absolutely tremendous game. It's just, it's almost impossible to give Callum McGregor the credit he deserves.
It's getting into the Tierney territory, isn't it, as well?
But I still feel that people are sleeping on Callum McGregor. I just think because he's this quiet, unassuming guy, he's always there, always on the ball. He's so quick and confident on the turn. Never in a million years, if Callum McGregor wasn't a Celtic player, could we afford a player like Callum McGregor?
No, he's
absolutely outrageous. There was a part, but I think it was before Odson completed his hat trick. Yeah, it was definitely before he completed his hat trick. Callum McGregor plays like a... Remember that Scott Allen pass that everyone never shut up about last season for about 6 months? Callum McGregor played a very, very similar pass. He takes the ball about 40 yards out. At this point, there's 5-6 Hamilton players, midfielders and defenders between him and Odson Edward. Odson makes like a wee tucked run inside and McGregor spots it and just played this really crisp pass through. The keeper manages to cut it out, but the vision was absolutely incredible and the weight of the pass was almost perfect. And it just, I just think McGregor had a terrific game.
He did. And we talk about the intensity of the game and Celtic, the tempo they were moving at, particularly in the second half. I think that's almost entirely down to Callum McGregor. He just ticks that all over.
He dictates that, doesn't he?
Yeah, Christie is obviously boundless energy and he gets involved in a lot of things, but McGregor is the metronome in there I know I shuddered just as it came out of my mouth, but he is the guy that is dictating the tempo of the game, as much as it's a cliche.
The conductor of the orchestra, any other football cliches we want to shoehorn in?
Exactly, the conductor of the orchestra. He is the guy who makes all that tick. He just is. It's not Scott Brown's job. It's not really Ryan Christie's job either. It's Callum McGregor is responsible for the pace at which Celtic play the majority of their game.
Odson completed his hat trick. There's a bit of interplay on the outside of the box. Carla Christie, I think it was, took a shot. Keeper saves it. Yeah. Odson Edward, once again, right place, right time. That real striker's instinct to knock the ball away. First hat trick of the season. Now, I'm not a great betting man, but a popular bookmakers had an opening offer on Odson Edward to score more than two goals, and it was like 4.5-1. But if that's how odds work, I'll take that. Yeah. And then I'll probably, and I won it, so I'm not going to bet for the rest of the season, so I am up. That's how it works. I'm up. Yeah. So I'm up for the rest of the season, thanks to Odson Edward. On the Patreon, we obviously do the live preview show. Stephen, what did you say? Celtic -2, for sure?
Yeah, yeah. Did I take my own advice? Did I? Pollocks. No, I did not place that bet, but I thought Celtic -2 handicap was absolutely printing money, and I didn't. My printer broke down and I did not get in on that action, sadly.
So with that third goal, the title's in the bag. There we go. Done and dusted.
It's a great finish. Yeah. Maybe an underrated finish, because it looks on the surface of things like he's just sort of knocked it into an empty net, but it's something we kind of need to give Edward credit for as well. We often talk about how good he is bearing down on goal one-on-one with the keeper, but that ball just basically fell at him and he levelled it into the top corner first time without even hesitating, without even taking a breath. He just smashed it into the top corner. It's maybe, I'm maybe kind of overdoing it, but I can't think of many players that would have just, without hesitation, just levelled it into the net like that and just into the top corner. So just even with the enforced shutdown that we've had of the football, of the podcast, I probably should have spent some of that time trying to think of more ways to talk about Odson Edward, because I struggled to. It became a kind of running joke of the podcast last season. How many different ways can we find to describe how good Odson Edward is? And we kind of struggled. So I probably should have spent the lockdown a bit more productively and come up with better words.
reading that thesaurus I bought you for Christmas. One of the Hamilton units, there's a lot of units in that team, but Ockhampo's, he's a big guy, and he's like a boxer. Yep. He maybe, there's an argument he could have walked for a bit of a wild tackle on McGregor.
He's given Celtic trouble in the past. He scored a couple of goals last season, but he was given Callum McGregor something to think about in this. It came through the back of McGregor. I think the referee absolutely shat it, if I'm totally honest. He came through the back and he did that scissor thing. To be honest, watching the replay, it looks like he lost a little bit of control, he lost a little bit of balance and didn't really mean to go as far as he did. But that doesn't matter. He still did it. He still, you know, by definition, lost control of the tackle and took McGregor out. I'm not one of these guys who typically screams for a red card for anything, but I think he definitely could have walked. I don't think he would have any complaints if he'd gone for that. Scott Brown, after the challenge, Scott Brown went through the motions of pretending he wanted to fight him over it, which I don't think would be a very good idea.
One of your pals gets done like that, exactly. You need to get involved.
You need to do it, but I don't think that'd be a very good idea for anyone for that. As I say, it looks like a light heavyweight fighter.
New rules, new season. You're allowed to name 9 subs and change 5 at 3 different periods of the game. Out with half time, Neil Lennon didn't go for the 5, but he went for the 4. Klamala and Cham, El Hamed and Karamoko Dembele came on with all varying degrees of success. We've already kind of touched on in Cham. Dembele's a player I really want to see more of this season. I think he needs to make the step up from being a wee last 10-minute luxury, you know, go on and give people a show and see what you can do to really trying to challenge James Forrest for that position. El Hamed is a player that we love on this podcast.
Yeah.
He's just really, really unfortunate that he's been frozen out by Frimpong, but if he can keep himself fit, I'm sure there's plenty of football for
definitely
El Hamid to play Patrick Klamala. A terrific ball from Christopher Julien. St. Klamala threw in behind the Hamilton defence, and I'm so glad he scored a goal like this, because something that you hear quite often about Patrick Klamala is, and you know, in newspapers and sports punditry, is, you know, he's going to struggle at Celtic because Celtic always play against packed defences. Mm. Well, that's not always the case. Celtic, yes, do play against compact teams, against packed defences, but they're not packed all of the time.
No.
For example, when Celtic's fullbacks, maybe fullbacks is a bad example, but when Celtic, you know, Scott Brown or any of the centre halves have got the ball, Hamilton aren't going to be packed at the back waiting, you know, for the attack to come. They'll be spread out. There'll be gaps in there. And Patrick Klamala found one. Good run. It was a good finish. I think it came off for him, if I'm being really, really honest. I think it came off for him, but that doesn't mean he didn't mean it. He meant to do it. He meant to put the ball where it ended up. And it was a good finish. And that's what you need to see more of from old Paddy.
He did everything right, really. He got in the end of it. He got there before the defender did and stuck it away past the keeper. I can't fault him. I can't ask him for any more than that. I think he took the opportunity he was presented with, and you know, that's really all we can expect from him. I think it was a telling contribution from a player that we've maybe considered a guy who maybe wasn't going to cut it, unfairly or not. I'm not sure. Time will tell. But can't fault the guy. He got through on the end of a ball, out-muscled the defender and stuck it away. So that's exactly what we're after from him.
Out-muscled him, Melly, with brand new shoulders.
Yeah, shoulders for days, these days. As Stephen said, that is all we can ask. When him and Karim O'Coon, El Hamid were coming on, I thought, come on, 7 minutes, Lenny. I was hoping we'd see changes a bit earlier, because I think with the new five sub rule, it is a chance for guys like Karamoko to get some more game time, Klamala as well. And it's a chance for us to maybe rest Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, give them some rest. So I was a wee bit disappointed that it was late, but after winning 5-1, I can't have too many complaints. But as soon as he got in, he made that run in, and it was a very intelligent run, something that noticed in pre-season it was offside quite a lot, but it was a perfect ball through, perfect run, right across the defender, and the early finish means the keeper can't get there. If he's going to keep doing stuff like that, he's going to change my opinion on him, and I've no problem with that, but I want to see more of that from him, because he is starting to change my mind. But just going forward, I'm not sure he's got the quality. But if he keeps scoring goals and taking chances, he got 3 in pre-season, and he's got another one in the first game of the season, 1-1, I can't argue with that.
The pass from Julien, though, absolutely perfect, but what my favourite part of it was, see, when you watch just him after he's played the pass, he looks like a 10-pin bowler who has just bowled. He stands and admires his own pass with his back kind of arched, as if he's looking down the lane at the strike he's just about to
have hit. Talking to it, as if he's mentally trying to guide it into Patrick's back.
That was my favourite part.
His leg behind his other leg. Like,
yeah, exactly.
A wee bowling guy celebration after the ball hit the back of the net. So that was it. Celtic kicked off our quest for 10 in a row.
Top of the league, lads. Top of the league. Unless Motherwell going to blow away whoever they're playing 8-0 tonight.
Second wave comes on Monday. We're champions. It's that simple. That's how it happens. Absolutely spectacular fashion. By the way, speaking of fashion, that was the first outing for the new Adidas home kit.
Yeah.
Looks absolutely sensational. I think it looks brilliant. I think that mint green away kit is right into the top two of my lifetime, straight away.
All time away. That's bold.
Top five easily. I'm going to sleep on it, right? And I'll let you know next week if it's in top two.
It may be a bold claim, but I ain't mad at you for it. I'm not. Yeah. I'm certainly not going to deride you for that bold claim.
One thing I will say is, can they maybe come up with some new, you know, manager gear? Because Lenny's cutting about in a half zipped up hoodie and a pair of joggies by the looks of it on the touchline. He looks as if he's furloughed. Lenny looks as if he's still furloughed.
He didn't even have the Celtic badges on them. No. It was just normal Adidas gear.
Just his own Adidas gear at the
house. He looked like a guy you would do your best to avoid at a sketchy house party in the kitchen. Like you would see this like right shady looking guy with a hoodie on and all that, and you'd be like, oh mate, I don't want to engage with him.
Such and such his brother, his mum made him come. No, we're just being really rid of it. Being rid of it, the Celtic manager now. Before we keep digging ourselves into that hole, I suppose we should wrap it up. Just want to say thanks to everyone on the Patreon who's supported us over the closed season. We've got loads of great stuff on there for you. Thanks to you guys, the listeners, for tuning in. Please leave us a review.
Yep, get involved.
We'll pick our funniest, we'll pick our favourite review on next week's podcast. We'll send the winner a gold badge for saying thank you. We want to get some good 5-star reviews on there. Melly, would you like to sign off with something witty?
No.
I didn't think so. Stephen.
Absolutely not. Again,
can you talk Melly's?
Yeah, the last time, I said before, the last time you asked me to do this, I felt like I'd gone into my work or something and I'd been thrust like a birthday card. You feel under pressure to write something funny in it, but you end up just saying all the best and just writing your name. So that's kind of what I feel like.
Right,
So, thanks, guys.
All the best. And on that, we shall wrap up. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.